Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com, and it is Thursday, December the 4th, 2025, and I have the honor to have Professor James Fetzer on with me. And I'll tell you, I haven't done a lot of shows lately, folks, because they've ruined my computer. I had to change a phone number without getting into it and can't give it out just because they're spamming me so hard in electronics. Now, they broke. Just in the past, since April, they broke a collarbone. They knocked me into a table, broke four ribs, almost blew me up at a gas station. Crammed me into a fireplace the other night, head on, and a whole bit. And it has not been pleasant. And they're using energy weapons. I'm convinced of it, energy weapons, because other people were being attacked also. Because they're on the move. Now, with that said, Jim Fetzer, what's the latest?
Well, Stu, we got the country, our country, has gone rogue. We're planning to attack Venezuela, according to the president. We're going to start land strikes soon, suggesting another country might be involved. Presumably that's Colombia. He is basing this on allegations of Maduro, the president, being some kind of narco kingpin, and in seeming substantiation, the American military has destroyed a number of boats off of Venezuela, and we have killed around 80 with at least 15 strikes. And the fact of the matter is it's all being done without due process in violation of international law. There's no interdiction. There's no verification. They're transporting any drugs at all. The claim is this supposed to be fentanyl? Trump's coming up with fantastic numbers claiming that each of these boats he takes out saves 25,000 American lives, but there's no good reason to think that at all. Hegseth directed that two survivors of the latest hit be taken out. That's, again, a blatant violation of international law. And you're obligated under the laws of the sea and the laws of war to save, do everything you can to save survivors in a situation like this. They're wanting to blame the Admiral Bradley, where Hegseth had directed the Admiral to conduct the strikes. The Press Secretary, Carolyn Levin, said Admiral Bradley worked well within his authority and the law, directing the engagement to ensure the boat was destroyed and the threat to the United States of America was eliminated, but there's no evidence there was any threat to America or that they were transporting any drugs whatsoever. They could have been fishing boats. They could have been out for a holiday cruise, for all we know. So this is very bad conduct on the part of the United States, and it's all intended to set up an attack on Venezuela, which do... If I read the tea leaves properly, Venezuela already has Russian anti-ship missiles in its possession. It already has S-400 anti-missile, anti-aircraft batteries. These are among the best in the world. The anti-ship missiles are the best in the world. And I suspect that the arrangement of ships or the flotilla runs the risk of having every single vessel sunk to the bottom of the sea by Venezuela. They also have anywhere to 4 to 8 million man militia. And these Venezuelans are tough. They're not going to succumb. They're not going to roll over. And it's all highly outrageous and unlawful behavior, not on the part of Venezuela, involvement on the part of the United States, Stu? Your thoughts or comments?
I'm pretty much in agreement with you, Jim. I mean, I served in the Marine Corps. You served in the Marine Corps. And what I'm seeing is, hey, if they're bringing the drugs in, blow them out of the water. Blow them out of the frigate water. And if they want to start war with us, which I don't know whether you saw a video, but I saw one yesterday where they had a aircraft in Venezuela where Trump was near with his main plane and his two fighter jets along with him. But this Venezuelan fighter jet tried to shoot Trump down. Instead, he got in one of our fighter jets. And the other fighter jet of ours, they took him out. But that's getting too close. We're at war.
Well, Trump was it? What in the world would Trump be doing anywhere near Venezuela? I mean, that's just ludicrous, too. And you may have missed, there's no evidence these boats are transporting any drugs. There's no evidence for it.
I saved a video of it, and I'll send it to you, and I'll post it up with the show underneath showing that airplane. He was down there at some meeting near Venezuela this past week when they did that to him. But, I mean, look, and then, you know, this thing on Israel, we can move on to it if you want to. Oh, my God. You know, that's in my opinion, the Antichrist to the max. That Bibi Netanyahu, he's a friggin' idiot. And, I don't want to say too much, but somebody needs to neutralize him. He needs to be stopped.
Well, tell me more of what you're talking about specifically in detail, because we know the atrocities being committed, the genocide against the Palestinians and all that, and it's getting worse. It would appear, not better. Stu, elaborate.
Yeah, that's what it is. In Palestine, you know, the Gaza, all that. I mean, you know, you got them going in and turning the place into beachfront property. And Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, married Ivanka, and his partner are raising capital to buy up all that beachfront property and to put high-rise condos on them. That's what they're doing right now. And, I mean, they've killed how many people? 1.5 million, maybe more. And now they want to expand Israel, greater Israel. They want to expand into the other countries. Totally. Qatar and every place else, they want to blow everybody apart. Iran. I mean, this guy's the closest thing to be an antichrist anybody could see. One world government, and that's what they're pushing. And Trump's going along with it. I hate to say it, but he is, because of the ties to Israel. I don't like it. I don't like it a bit. They're going to end up getting us nuked.
Well, this ties back to Venezuela on several grounds, because the question becomes, why in the world are we attacking Venezuela when obviously the grounds we're alleging this narco-terrorism is fabricated and fake? So what's the real reason? Well, of course, as in the case of Iraq, Venezuela is one of the world's greatest reservoirs of oil. It's very high quality. Iraq had around 300 billion barrels of reserves. Venezuela more than double. And there seems to be a similarity in this regard too, that Iraq was strongly supportive of the Palestinian cause. Venezuela similarly strongly supportive of the Venezuelan cause. So it looks as though in both instances the United States was acting at the behest of Israel to punish strong nations with vast oil reserves that were supporting the Palestinians, whom the Israelis want to eradicate from the face of earth completely and forever. I have conjectured in the past that going after Venezuelan oil was in anticipation of a strike on Iran by the U.S. and Israel together, which would lead inevitably to the shutting down of the Strait of Hormuz and reducing the supply of oil worldwide. So to compensate in anticipation, the U.S. is going after Venezuelan oil, but I do believe that, in fact, this has to do with Israeli revenge agenda, punishing people who deport Palestinians. It is grotesque. It is monstrous. And as you are observing, Stu, our own president of the United States is on the wrong side of history. He's on the wrong side of these issues. He ought to be condemning Israel for genocide, not supporting by providing the weapons necessary to facilitate the ongoing slaughter. Your thoughts?
I'm in agreement with you, Jim, totally. It is an ongoing slaughter. It's a mass murder. It's genocide. And this guy, the Hague and the UN has brought him up on war crimes?
Yeah.
And now he's up on a bribery charge of some type? BB is?
Yeah, he confronts a trial for corruption and has been asking Trump to move for a pardon, which Trump has already made when he visited the Knesset and said to President Herzog that Netanyahu ought to be pardoned. That was very, very inappropriate. The American president should not be telling any foreign nation how to conduct its own judicial procedures, especially of political figures who are his own personal friends and allies. In fact, in many of us believe that Trump is a puppet of Netanyahu, that he's Bibi's lab dog, and that he doesn't exercise independent judgment in these matters, but rather does as he is told. Your thoughts?
You know, Jared Kushner, I don't know whether you know it or not, but Otis Johnson used to tell me he was Mossad. He was Mossad. He never had a national security clearance when he was in the White House and he was around the president 24/7. He heard everything that first term. Okay? He never had.
I have long since concluded Kushner was Mossad. I agree completely.
Yep. So, you know, that's the problem. And when you got somebody, Mossad, running around and he's the son-in-law of the president, that's not good. And then you take, you know, Jim, we can talk about Israel all day long, but if you take Inslaw and the software that's stolen from my friend Bill Hamilton, and what they did with it, infiltrated, and now the Israelis control the, and have for a number of years, they control the internet, and they control the telephone system of the U.S. government. So they're monitoring all the congressmen, all the senators, they're monitoring everybody, judges, everybody. They're all hooked up to that phone system. And it's out of Arkansas. It was initially formed there, but it's Israeli. It's hooked up to Bluffdale, it's hooked up to Wichita, Kansas, Cheney Reservoir, which is all this secret shit with the government, into Kentucky, into Virginia. And it's all hooked together. And they can listen to you, they can control you, they can do everything. They can mind, pardon the expression, mind fuck you. Okay? Which, believe me, for me having to change my phone number, it's very serious, Jim. Very serious. Wrecking on me as hard
Kevin
as
Kevin Barrett has published a brilliant piece, What's Wrong with These People, where I've taken the opportunity to add two interviews I did years ago on Chomsky on JFK at 9/11, where he has been idolized by generations of students of linguistics, but completely mistakenly based upon my research. I've been forced to conclude that he was an asset of the CIA, given his disparagement of conspiracies in JFK and 9/11. for those who want to dispute Canada's unvarnished critique of Israel, what possible evidence do you have to the contrary? Get this. What's wrong with these people? They're the global rape capital. They can't stop committing genocide even after signing a ceasefire. They deliberately starve innocent civilians. They're the world leaders in racist violence in service to ethnic cleansing. They routinely torture prisoners to death, steal and traffic their organs, and leave their bodies so mutilated as to be unidentifiable.
And shoot,
they get away with all this and more because they've taken over America. They blackmail U.S. presidents, other notables, and use their sex trafficking blackmailers to defame anyone who breathes a word of truth about their stranglehold over U.S. foreign policy. They routinely commit assassinations and other terrorist outrages, often designated to be designed to be blamed on their enemies, as with 9/11. Stu, wanted to comment.
Yeah, hold on. This is Joe coming in here. Let me pull him in. Hang on. Hang on, Joe. Okay, Jim, I got Joe here.
Excellent.
Joe, you there?
Hey, Jim. I'm here.
Okay, now, as far
as... Excellent.
What was your question, Jim, just a moment ago?
Well, Joe, we were talking about Venezuela, that the attack on these vessels blowing them out of the water without due process is a war crime or murder or both, that it's all fabricated. Fentanyl is coming from Mexico, it's not coming from Venezuela. And that I've conjectured two reasons why this may be happening. One is in anticipation of a future strike by the U.S. and Israel on Iran, that Iran would shut the Straits of Hormuz and dramatically reduce the accessibility of oil. So this is to compensate in advance, but also because, as in the case of Iraq, which similarly had vast oil resources, Iraq and Venezuela are both supportive of the Palestinian cause, and therefore the Israelis, who are very vengeful, are using the United States to punish their enemies because their enemies are supporting the Palestinians. Any comments of yours on all of the above would be most welcome.
Okay. I would say that the one thing that you have to take into consideration is who's pulling puppet strings by whom. And obviously it is the Jewish political cause coming out of the Bank of England from the Rothschild family and for their concerns of money. And so whatever happens, whichever way it goes, that has to be put into consideration. Because they, that is the Rothschild family and those bankers, control the money. And whatever they're doing is for their benefit and not ours. Whether it seems that it might be for our benefit, and it isn't. It may be for their benefit only. So my take on this on Venezuela is that Maduro himself is controlled by Standard Oil. So what does that mean? So you have all of these conspiracies behind the conspiracy, behind the conspiracy. So that's very difficult to make out why things are being done. Is a faction within that entire power structure competing against another part of the structure, and they are putting the squeeze on them through the drug trade and the trafficking of humans? And then, of course, the trafficking of oil. Right now, I can tell you without a doubt, there is oil coming out of Iraq, And there is an area up around northeastern Syria where nobody's paying the piper. They're just stealing the oil. Some that's going down to Tel Aviv, and the other is going over to Italy. So you have an entire cabal going up there. They have a free fire zone on each side of the pipeline by 1 mile. Anything enters into that zone, they kill them. Doesn't matter who it is, what it is, they die. So you have that going on. So how to tell what's what in this? I don't know. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, good. Excellent, Joel. I was also reviewing a Kevin Barrett critique of Israel, raising the question of what's wrong with these people, and it's so concise and so devastating. Let me share it with you once again. They're the global rape capital. They can't stop committing genocide even after signing a ceasefire. They deliberately starve innocent civilians. They have the world leaders in racist violence and in service to ethnic cleansing. They routinely torture prisoners to death, steal and traffic their organs, and leave their bodies so mutilated as to be unidentifiable. They get away with all of this and more because they have taken over America. They blackmail U.S. presidents, other notables, and use their sex trafficking blackmailers to defame anyone who breathes a word of truth about their stranglehold over U.S. foreign policy. They routinely commit assassinations and other terrorist outrages, often designed to be blamed on their enemies, as with 9/11. They manufacture controlled opposition dissidents like Jeffrey Epstein's good friend Noam Chomsky. As I recently informed the leftists, when we recently figured out what a scumbag Chomsky was, Chomsky's scumbaggery is related as being a Jewish supremacist, tribalist, and agent of the genocidal Zionist entity. His entire political career really was, the academic was a cover, was spent running cover for Israel by posing as pro-Palestinian, by using his enormous influence to steer public opinion away from icebergs that could have sunk Israel, such as the JFK assassination, 9/11, and acknowledgement of the Cosa Nostra stranglehold over the U.S. in general, and Biden's policy in particular. Chomsky is just Epstein in intellectual drag. Perhaps most mystifyingly, they are perplexed about why people dislike them and outraged by that growing dislike. To solve their popularity problem, they buy up the media so they can prevent anyone from pointing out that they control the media. Then they buy up social media so they can shadow ban or deplatform anyone who posts about them. Buying up social media. It is outrageous. Joel, your thoughts?
I agree with every word that is written in that piece that you just read. Every word is correct. And if you look on the logo for the Mossad, it is by way of deception. The first word out of their mouth is deception. The last word out of their mouth is deception. And that's the way they carry it on. And they are masters at deception. All the way from the writers concerning this, all the way going back to the 1920s, to 1930s, they were exactly on target, condemning and pointing these people as persons of the falsehood, no matter what it is. The first word out of their mouth is deception. The last word out of their mouth is deception. But it is for me, not you. I call them egos. I before you. In everything that they do.
Yes, he continues. when they are criticized for slaughtering thousands of innocent civilians every few years and calling it mowing the lawn, they respond by saying, okay, we won't mow the lawn anymore. Instead of killing thousands every few years, we'll just go ahead and kill hundreds of thousands all at once. What a great way to win friends and influence people. One of the weirdest aspects of their psychology is their love of sexual abuse. I already mentioned the excellent Global Rape Capital article by Elias Eka, which starts by discussing Israelis mass hating on the woman who leaked the video showing Israeli soldiers and their dog torturing and sodomizing a Palestinian prisoner hostage in Sinjar Desert Prison, and goes on to demonstrate in nauseating detail what a demented, sadistic, sexually, psychopathically satanic culture the whole Israeli society has become. Tucker Carlson's brother Buckley has been abused and threatened for sharing that article on X, and we're blogging the UNZ Review, where Jewish supremacist psychopathology is not off limits for discussion and critique. Let me say, Caitlin Johnstone, who's just brilliant, she does many wonderful articles and publishes them on UNZ.com, has just published a new one, the title of which is Sorry for Appearing to Be Anti-Semitic, But I Don't Think It's Right to Train Dogs to Rape Prisoners. The Israelis actually have rape dogs that are raping their Palestinian prisoners. And I don't know if it's strictly anal rape, but it's disgusting beyond belief. And she's outlined how it's done, the witnesses who have seen it happen. This is grotesque beyond imagination. Joe,
would you bring up what that one Israeli that was shooting and killing the Palestinian children, what she said?
That's routine. What you're talking about is that's routine. The soldiers, the IDF soldier was given orders, shoot babies in the head. And they did.
And she went home. She goes home, she's got blood on her hands, right?
And they put some bait out there with food and water. This little 8-year-old girl ambles out to get it, and as she bends over to pick up the food, they shoot her right in the back. And you hear them laughing about it. And the reason is that in the Talmud, the Goyim, that's you and I, we are looked upon in the Talmud as being cattle. We don't have a soul. So therefore, what you are doing is just you are shooting an animal. That's what they're taught. From the little days to the big days. We are Goyim. Take it for what it says. We are cattle. We are soulless. And that's how they do what they do.
Now, Jim, I want to bring up...
another thing.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Stu.
I want to bring up something. You know, Chuck Schumer was blackmailed. As a matter of fact, Al Martin, my friend, he's dead now, Iran-Contra whistleblower, he was the one that testified against them in the whole bit and wrote the book, The Conspirators. And I got an article from that book about Chuck Schumer and Boulder Properties Limited, which was the blackmail of congressmen and senators, and it shows you exactly how Bush and all of them and the Israelis did it. Okay? And Chuck Schumer, he just answers to them. That's it. He answers to them. Because they got him under control. It's on the front of my website, and it's in the middle columns someplace, or punch in the search button, Chuck Schumer, blackmail. I thought I'd bring that up, because that's the 12 disciples of Satan. These 12 richest bastards in the world that are in control of the money and the banks.
Now, in the world of what would be called anti-Semitism, bookstores or books, there is a letter written or an interview given of the Rosenthal letter. This was an interview made by Walter White of an administrator to a senator, and here interviewing his one of his staff members. And what he said simply was, the question was saying, you ask me why I say our God is not your God. And he said, the reason is because our God is Lucifer. He said, most Jews don't know this, but at the top level of the pyramid, it is because they practice what Lucifer says. Called the Rosenthal letter, and every word that he said, he was 26-year-old administrator for Jacobitz, and he told the bottom line. And again, how people say, how can an IDFer shoot these Palestinians? Because a Palestinian is nothing more than cattle to them. Take it for what it says, they mean it. We are in battle, and it's specifically carried out in the Chabad, which our president's daughter is married to the Chabad.
To Kirchner.
That's what controls Trump. That's why I was saying Brooks, David Brooks, William, McKinnon, are two high-ranking billionaires, and they're the ones that control Trump. Trump is married to the Chabads, and the Chabads are the guys that dress in black and have the long hair braided. That's the Chabads. And in the Chabads, we are cattle, clean. They have two faces that they wear, the outward political face, and then the inner satanic political face, the real face. And that's what they do, what they do. A good example of all these Christians that fell for dispensationalism, absolutely brilliantly done by the Israelis. Well, all it said was is that Jesus is going to come back and we've got to get in there and help Israel. Well, the real truth of it is they say their God is going to come back, Lucifer, and take my word for it, they believe what they're saying. They believe what they're saying. All you have to do is pay attention to what happens in Hollywood. Hollywood is a sewer pit. Why? Hollywood didn't become overnight. It was always a sewer pit, because that's who founded Hollywood. And people just don't believe it, but it's the truth. All those Christians that were praising Israel and everything are forgetting one-third of the Palestinians are Orthodox Christians. Bibi Netanyahu bombed one of the earliest churches that go all the way back to the first century. When you see the letters AD, Ata Domine, that means after the death of Christ. Well, the clever little writers changed that around and made it called the common era, like 1 CA, 2 CA. They're very brilliant in what they do. Everything they do, they twist it. And when they say that they're going to do something, they mean it. But we don't know how to deal with it. That's the problem. There's not enough people out there on the airwaves that you can overcome the media that they control, which is 90% of it. They control 90% of it. Everybody watched Bibi Netanyahu say we're going to buy TikTok, and they did. And that's how they do it. He who controls the money controls it all. And the Rothschild family and those 11 banking families do so. They own the economy. They own the economy, and they get away with what they want.
There's 12 disciples of Satan, they call them. 12 disciples.
London is the home of the Black Widow spider.
The 12 disciples of Satan, all the banks they control. Look at Denver. Look at Denver. Controls Black Rock, Blackstone. It was all developed from Silverado drug money. All illegal. And it's the largest bank in the U.S. and controls a third of the corporate stock worldwide. And that's only one of them.
And to show you how far they will go, they have what they call sayings. These are assets that can be used for probing and gathering data to make a profile on people. The biggest profilers are the Jews themselves. And everything, that's where you get into the electronic surveillance system. Pelletier is absolutely 100% predictive programming. That means he might arrest you, so we're going to go arrest him and take him out before he does his crime. That's Joe Stalin at his best.
You there, Jim? Jim?
Yeah, sure. Kevin had more to say. There's sex abuse loving culture as a special penchant for raping children and adolescents. And it isn't just an Israeli thing. In New York, rabbis have set up a child rape assembly line and terrorize anyone who breathes a word about it. Recently, one such perverted rabbi with excuses that the Talmud says it's just fine to rape little children, has benefited from Jewish political power, and appears to poise to escape a 103-year prison sentence. He will presumably benefit from the same kind of Jewish supremacist influence that forced the U.S. to release Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard in 2015. That notorious traitor was recently honored by a private visit from U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee. What's the source of all this pathological behavior? Lord Goyer thinks it ultimately stems from the Torah. Ron Unz likewise suspects that unfortunate aspects of the Jewish religious tradition are still influencing secular tribalist behavior. Here's a quote from Ron Unz. A religion based upon the principle of love thy neighbor may or may not be workable in practice, but a religion based upon hate thy neighbor might have long-term cultural ripple effects that extend far beyond the direct community of the deeply pious. If nearly all Jews for 1,000 or 2,000 years were taught to feel a seething hatred toward all non-Jews, it also developed an enormous infrastructure of cultural dishonesty to mask that attitude. It's difficult to believe that such an unfortunate history has had absolutely no consequences for our present-day world and that of the relatively recent past. E. Michael Jones, this week's co-host with Kevin Barrett on his False Light Weekly News show, reframe Zun's insight in conventional Christian terms. Jews rejected and killed Jesus, opted for an Antichrist theology, and made themselves the enemies of all mankind. I find much to agree with in all those analyses. Alongside the Christian critique, I would add the Quranic one. Our Quran has a lot to say about the Jews, most of it highly critical. They, or their tribal leaders, distorted the scriptures for their own gain. Their willful ignorance of the divine message of the scriptures, even as they pose as its custodians, makes them like donkeys carrying loads of books. They are the greediest people on earth for the things of the world, wealth, and power. They go to extreme lengths, haggling with God and trying to ignore his commands. They even believe they can chain God's hands, and they, alongside the pagans, are the worst enemies of Muslims, those who submit to God, while the Christians are Muslims' best friends and allies. Our Quranic criticism targets the tribe's leadership, like noise at some powerless, marginalized, prophetic Jews have remained pious and faithful to the divine message. And here's a psychological observation based on attachment theory. Eighth-day circumcision is likely a major reason why Jewish tribalism is so paranoid and psychopathic. Jews are conditioned by rabbis and other Jewish leaders to hate the evil goy who once said unspeakable things to us. A buried memory of the evil stranger ripped a baby out of his mother's arms and inflicted horrific sexual mutilation, ruining the infant child bond that Balaby discovered was the key to lifelong ease and well-being, and leading to overcompensation in the guise of Jewish mother syndrome. Jews need to start a circumcision truth movement under the slogan, "Circumcision was an inside job." But enough about me. What do you think is wrong with these people? Joel.
It's humbug. And I did this way back in 2013. There is a man, a geneticist. His name is Aaron Ehrlich. And he was tagged by Israeli Antiquities to go in and trace the history of the Jew, the lineage. He did. And he came back, and he is the final say. No matter what the David Dukes or these other white nationalists say, there is the Khazarian fact. It is a fact. It is not a theory. The Jews are a descendant of the Khazaris that lived in the Khazarian Empire up around the Caspian Sea. That is their lineage. Their lineage is not Shem. Their lineage is not Shem. They have no right to Israel, what we call Israel today, because they are Jews. They're not old Hebrews. And you get a lot of argument out there going back and forth, but Aaron Ehrlich is the finalist nail in the coffin that it is the Khazarian theory is fact. And that seals it right then and there. These people are not the descendants of Shem.
Now, Jim.
Aaron Ehrlich, remember that name, and he did the final study on what the Khazarian theory means, and it's real.
Now, you remember Bob Foote, also known as Gordon Duff, of Veterans Today, which now he runs some other bullshit. He was CIA, okay? I wrote for him for a while, and so did you. And I remember you quit about the same time I did. But he sent out an email here, what, 2 months ago? Saying something that he was promoting your death and somebody else's death. Do you remember what I sent you? Jim?
No. We may have different views. I think Gordon does a lot of good stuff. He actually sacked me because I was right about Jade Helm 15, which he didn't want to have discussed in VT. He has something called Intel Drop now, and he has recently reported on the legal proceedings involving out-of-court settlements between Donald Trump and 15 children, ages between 10 and 14, for millions of dollars, including three young boys, sad to say. I was so enthusiastic and happy about Trump when he first came down the escalator, I voted for him three times. But I've become very disillusioned by his foreign policy, which has contradicted his claims to be a peace guy. They want to end these wars and avoid new ones. And by his entanglement with Jeffrey Epstein, which has reached a point where, in my opinion, it is simply undeniable. It's massive, it's overwhelming, and it's sucking all the air out of his administration. Though he's acting as best he can to try to cope with it. I'm sorry to say, I think that's a lost cause. Joel.
I would say that there were things that Bob Flea did and right were on target. There are many good things that came out of VT, and including those concerning Trump. Trump is, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And he participated with Jeffrey Epstein all the time in these sodomizing young boys. Because that's what they did. And they have no conscience about it because the child is Goyim, cattle. And it carries a spirit. Those words carry a spirit. And we just can't say, we have a hard time wrapping our minds around, Trump just couldn't really do this, and could he? Yes, he did. He participated. He did, with Jeffrey Epstein was to do one thing, compromise everything to get everything they needed. And that's what he did.
Now
we just cannot accept the fact that if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
There's only one person over there at Veterans Today, that's Preston James, that writes anything of importance, in my opinion.
Well, I can't go along with that, Stu, because there are other writers that are writing like that work with E. Michael Jones and exposing the Khazarian Mafia, and they're doing a good job at it. But there are others, of course, that I agree with you on.
And I recently engaged in an extended debate with Jonas Alexis, who's the new editor-in-chief, on the Oons Review. It's entitled From Darwin to Deontology. He's a very convinced anti-abortion activist, and we were engaging in an extensive discussion of what emerges from an evolutionary perspective about morality, where I was explaining that morality entails transcending our animal origins to an exercise of the intellect, contemplating alternative possibilities of how ways things could be, and endorsing some as preferable to others, which makes them how we should act toward our fellow human rather than how we do act. Though I am a defendant of a woman's right to choose, principally because the alternative turns women into reproductive slaves by forcing them to carry to term unwanted fetuses, where sociological and other studies have shown that unwanted children tend to become juvenile delinquents, criminals in adulthood, and have a very negative impact on society. But first and foremost, because a woman has a right not to be treated as though she were a slave, even from the perspective of reproduction, where the crucial issue on my approach is personhood. At what point does a developing fetus attain a status where it has the most primitive right to life, a certain legal, social, and moral status that the developing entity does not possess prior to that state, which I take to occur at the end of the second trimester, which is coincident with viability, or the ability of the fetus to exist external to the womb. It's not a function of heart or brain, but of lung development. And I believe that Roe v. Wade was, in fact, properly and wisely decided, where abortions were permissible during the first trimester without restraint. During the second, the state was entitled to regulate how they were done, but after, during the third, only to save the life or health of the mother, in other words, after, subsequent to the second trimester, which corresponds with the onset of viability, the fetus has rights by virtue of becoming a person that it did not attain previous, and therefore, of course, abortion during the first two trimesters cannot be murder, because murder entails a deliberate and wrongful killing of a person, and even if abortion is construed as deliberately killing an entity, it is not a person, and therefore is not a form of murder, a point on which I believe most who debate the morality of abortion tend to overlook, but which is absolutely central. Joe.
Okay, unfortunately, fellas, I've got to sign off and take care of some things. So carry on with the discussion. Thank you.
Okay, Joe.
Glad you could join us, Joe.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Professor Joe. Well, Jim, what else you want to cover? We got about 9-10 more minutes.
Well, I want to add that my sixth annual False Flags and Conspiracies Conference will take place on the 12th and 13th and the 14th of December, Stu. Friday, it's a half-a-day session beginning at 6 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, full-day sessions beginning at 9 a.m. Those times are central.
Now, that's next week, 28 right?
28 speakers.
Is that next week?
Weekend after this, yeah.
Oh, the weekend after this. Okay.
This weekend is the 6th and the 7th, which coincidentally, the 6th Saturday is my 85th birthday.
Well, congratulations.
But it's the following... Yeah, that's the following weekend, Stu. And for those, it's going to be free on Zoom. For those who want to register, since it's a Zoom event, you have to get access to the Zoom room. You can register for free by going to False Flags and Conspiracies Con, CON.com. False Flags and Conspiracies Con, CON.com. You can register for free now. Friday the 12th begins at 6 p.m. Central with Art Olivier, a presentation entitled Sandy Hook. Then David Banty, JFK was assassinated by consensus. Larry Rivera, JFK, the latest revelations. Me, finding consensus on JFK's assassination. Then Saturday the 13th again, Central. Alexander Baker, 9 a.m., Gender-Affirming Care, The New Lobotomy. John Goldman, Hollowing Out Third Spaces. Hope Girl from Morocco, How Technology Threatens Freedom. Miriam Hanay, How the Sausage is Made. Stephanie Sledge, The Infiltration of America to Eliminate Whites and Christians. Susan Bradford, The Black Rock Bamboozle. Chris Reinhardt, TBNC and Social Reengineering. TBNC being trauma-based mind control. Donald Jeffries, Subverting Our Founding Fathers. Roger Stone, The Clinton's War on Women Plus, Extending to Epstein. Dave Hodges, Charlie Kirk. John Hankey, Proof Israel Killed Charlie Kirk. Monique Lukens, An Actor Looks at Charlie and Erica. Uli Damagard, Was Charlie Kirk Shot to Make Erica Vice President? Then Sunday, the 14th of December, again, Central Time, beginning at 9 a.m. Carl Herman, American Revolution II, World War III. 2026 Status and Historical Context. John Hankey, The World War II Holocaust. Nicholas Kohlstrom, Israel Did 9/11. Russ Winter, Another Look at October 7th. Joaquin Agopian, Genocide. not theory, but fact. Lord, you know, does Israel have a future? Alex Scott, World War III. Monique Lukens, the LA Fires. Brian Davidson, the Great American Reprogramming. How decades of cultural propaganda rewired a nation. Rima Label, fighting the UN and the ostrich calling. Joe Olsa, allopathic cult conspiracy. Danny Siris, blood after mRNA vaccinations. And finally, Catherine Horton, how not to die trying. Again, go to False Flags and Conspiracies Con, CON.com, and obtain your ticket now. Free, pick and choose the sessions you want to take in from the comfort of your own home. And Stu, once again, I want to thank you for inviting me to join you for another broadcast.
I appreciate it, Jim. I want to ask you, did you mention the name John Cole? Or Coleman?
No, Coleman.
Coleman. He's been around.
Coleman, yes.
C-O-L-M-A-N-N? Coleman? He wrote a book?
No, C-O-L-E. C-O-L-E-M-A-N.
Oh, okay. I think it's the same one. He's been around a long time, hasn't he? I think the same one.
A relatively young guy. He runs an educational institute in Connecticut.
Yeah. Well, I believe this same John Cole. He's been around for a long time. I did speeches with a couple of events where he did them back in the 1990s. But anyway.
Very good. Very good.
I'll be looking forward to doing it. And send me something on it so I can publicize it for you, okay?
You got it.
Okay. I'll put it up, promote it. But Jim, I want to thank you very much.
Thanks, Stu.
Take care of yourself.
My pleasure, Stu.
My pleasure.
My pleasure.
Mine too. Take care. Bye.
You got it.